As Taoiseach, I want to see everyone reach their full potential. I want to help create an Ireland that drives innovation and creativity, an Ireland that is compassionate, tolerant and respectful.
On the things that really matter to workers and families, you have comprehensively failed, and no amount of bragging or bluster will disguise that fact.
So hello, this is Your Politics, the RTE podcast on all things political from our team here in Leinster House. I'm Áine Lawler, Sandra Hurley and Tommy Mescal with me this Thursday afternoon. It's been a funny old week, hasn't it? I mean, we'd all that pomp and ceremony on Tuesday, and you were here at Leinster House, Sandra, and you were up at Áras an Uachtaráin on Tommy. And that was a day about family and ceremonial and ministers and the wee shuffle. Then we had the junior ministers and the Oslaugher attack from Sinn Féin on Wednesday, although it turns out the Taoiseach was in his office and on TikTok and very busy. And then Simon Harris is travelling the EU today and he hosts the Spanish Prime Minister tomorrow. So impressions of the first week, Sandra?
I guess Simon Harris would have known that he wasn't going to have any type of honeymoon period because we're facing into elections and that's not really the nature of politics these days anyway. But there really wasn't any on Tuesday. I think some in government felt that the attacks from Sinn Féin maybe should have been a little lighter on Tuesday. They weren't, though. And it was back to politics as usual by Wednesday. As you said, Sinn Féin and others in the opposition very annoyed that he wasn't in the Dáil taking leaders' questions. There was no leaders' questions. And in fact, he's not in the Dáil today either because he's in Brussels and he's in Warsaw. So criticism, too, that he did find time on Wednesday to make a TikTok video updating people, his followers, of course, about what he'd been doing. But he did have phone calls with the British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak and with the Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. And he was getting briefings on the EU for his meetings today. So it wasn't the case that he was doing nothing. But certainly that is the nature of politics right now. It's going to be combative from the off.
Your impressions of the past week, Tommy?
To echo what Sandra said there, I think it was a quick meeting of reality for the new Taoiseach. Sinn Féin yesterday scoring quite a good political point, I thought. Perhaps the government left it open to them to do that. He wasn't there for leaders' questions. I think the argument could be made, though, that he was briefing for this EU summit. He wouldn't have much EU experience, so this was probably something that he did have to do a lot of prep for. Speaking to some senior people in Sinn Féin earlier today, they sort of acknowledged that he wasn't at home, you know, twiddling his thumbs. He was busy in government buildings, but this was an easy political attack. Mary Lou MacDonald standing in the chamber, pointing across the way and saying the Taoiseach is Oslaugher. She then went outside and played him at his own game, you could say. She put up her own social media video, again reiterating that the Taoiseach hadn't turned up for work. But he shot back with his own video from government buildings, outlining the various phone calls and work that he had been doing.
The war of the TikToks, indeed. And talk to me about what's been happening in terms of the junior ministerial appointments this week. A lot of interest in the fact that now we've now got two junior ministers from Limerick, constituency rivals and government colleagues.
Yeah, and I think to make it even worse for Niall Collins, Patrick O'Donovan is now actually a senior minister. So, it might be felt that he has a bit of a leg up on Niall Collins. They're both in Limerick County.
He'd never remind him of that, surely?
No, surely not. I mean, it's a three-seat constituency. And I suppose it exemplifies the difficulty for Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael because there's a sense that they're in the same government. They're going to be fishing in the same pool of voters in the next election, defending their record, and they hold the same record. They're going to have to try and differentiate themselves. So having a senior minister plonked into your constituency is not going to be delightful. Otherwise, I think the junior ministries went pretty much as expected. It had been predicted very early on that there would be elevations for Colm Burke, particularly because he was from Cork, Emer Higgins and Alan Dillon. And so it transpired. Maybe a little bit of surprise that Kieran O'Donnell was moved from housing into the OPW. But otherwise it developed pretty much as we expected.
And Michael Ring, of course, saying he advocated for Alan Dillon's promotion. And he also telling his local radio, wasn't he, that he'd been offered two junior ministries, but they'd no spending power and he didn't see you could do that much in the last 9 months as he sees it.
And he turned them down. I mean, you'd wonder, some might interpret it this way, that perhaps it's an indication that maybe Michael Ring won't be running next time around. Now, he hasn't said that, but if he were to take on a junior ministry post, then the assumption would be that he would have to run again, because that has been made clear. If you're going to be appointed a minister, you're going to have to run again. And I suppose perhaps from his calculation, maybe serving as a minister for a few months, but having to run and stay as a TD for another 5 years, was it worth that? Perhaps not. He has spoken as well about the fact that he was ill during Christmas. So perhaps all of that playing on his mind.
And some speculation that Fergus O'Dowd had been offered the Gaeltacht position, which should be with Fine Gael, given the way these things are portioned between the coalition partners. But apparently, because he's not running again, it seems he may or may not have been offered, not been offered, said no. We don't know what happened there. What we do know is it ended up with Thomas Byrne. Again, is that a good look for Fine Gael in terms of an Gaeilge?
I mean, it's not a good look. Now, I don't know what the response has been from Fine Gael, but certainly it is a fact that it is now with Thomas Byrne. He is an Irish speaker, and it's been suggested that it didn't stay with Fine Gael because they didn't have anybody who felt competent and competent enough for the role. So definitely not a good look.
Yeah, and Simon Harris has admitted he needs to brush up on his own Irish, doesn't he?
He'll have to do the Leo Varadkar thing, go off and study over the summer.
Bernard Durkin, before we move on from the new ministerial appointments, apparently, according to reports, and we can only go on what we read. Apparently, Bernard Durkin very critical about the newly promoted Patrick O'Donovan at the Fine Gael Parliamentary Party.
He was arguing, this was in relation to Castletown House and access around it for locals. And basically, he has been raising this issue.
This is a big issue in his constituency.
Yes, and he's been raising it now a few times with Patrick O'Donovan, who was the junior minister with responsibility for the OPW. And last night you had the parliamentary party meeting with Fine Gael. He was expressing a deep annoyance that he hadn't heard back from Patrick O'Donovan. He still hasn't heard back from Patrick O'Donovan. Perhaps he'll have more luck with the new minister.
On more important matters, on the news front this week, the big news really has been what Micheál Martin said on Tuesday and what's been said since about Ireland recognising the state of Palestine. This is a big step, isn't it?
It is a big step, and Ireland isn't going to be doing it completely on its own, but equally, they're not moving generally with the rest of Europe. Ireland, Slovenia, Spain and a few other states are apparently in agreement that because the two-state solution is unlikely to be reached and it's going to be undermined, that the Oslo Agreement is not going to be held up, that the state of Palestine should be recognised. And Micheál Martin made that announcement in the Dáil on Tuesday. We understand that new Taoiseach Simon Harris is reinforcing that point in Brussels today. So it is certainly a big step. It does show that Ireland is a bit of an outlier in terms of European thinking. I don't think Micheál Martin got a lot of thanks from the opposition, who've been, you know, pushing the government very hard on Gaza and on taking a tougher line.
And also saying the Occupied Territories Bill is sitting there and you could enact that. Now, the government say It can't because trade is an EU competency. Is that the division there?
Yes, that has been the repeated line, but that doesn't stop the Social Democrats in particular have been raising this all the time at Leaders' Questions, Holly Kearns, and the issue was raised again today, and Breed Smith has been talking about it. It just seems that no matter what the government does, the opposition just don't feel that they're going far enough on this.
And Israel has been pretty critical, haven't they, of the government that, you know, moving on recognition now, they say, would be rewarding terrorism. Mm. And also criticism from the ambassador, because the Israeli ambassador to Ireland, Anna Ehrlich, because she was uninvited or not invited to the Fine Gael Ord Fheis at the weekend. So definitely that diplomatic tension is growing, isn't it?
She also wrote in the Irish Times this morning, the Israeli ambassador, and was saying that talk around Israel and Ireland, she felt, had crossed a line. She was asking if people felt that Israel should agree to a ceasefire whilst hostages were still being kept in Gaza. Nevertheless, though, it seems that Ireland is very much intent on moving ahead with recognising the state of Palestine. It was brought up in Leaders' Questions today, Micheál Martin telling the Dáil that he has held discussions now with his Spanish counterpart and intends on holding further discussions with other counterparts in like-minded EU countries. We also, of course, have the Spanish Prime Minister coming to Ireland tomorrow for a visit. So we definitely expect that to be raised during that meeting.
So that's something that's going to continue to dominate in the news, although of course all this diplomatic, however significant these things are diplomatically, and the recognition apparently is to be tied into an Arab peace plan, you know, What people on the ground need is access to food, water, aid, medical care, and they're not getting it.
That is something that Simon Harris, I think, is raising today, because he's, as Sandra was saying, he's abroad today. He's in Warsaw, where he's meeting with other EU prime ministers, and that is something he's raising, the need for a ceasefire, but also the need for aid routes to be opened up.
Yes, as he did directly in his conference speech on Saturday, speaking directly to Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. The other big news story of the week was the European Parliament voting through this big migration pact. It's got its critics who say it doesn't go far enough. It's got its critics who say it goes too far. Helen McEntee, the Justice Minister, who of course kept her portfolio, there'd been a lot of speculation about that. She was out this morning, and Fine Gael, besides advocating for this pact and Ireland opting into it, also very critical of Sinn Féin's stance on this. So tell us what's been going on there.
Yes, Ireland has opted into this, most of the EU asylum and migration pact. Now, they do have an opt-out on some stuff relating to the common travel area, but it's going to entail a massive overhaul of legislation. It won't all be done in the lifetime of the government. It's just simply too big. Interesting point on that, of course, is that a future administration, we understand, would be tied into this. If it gets through the Houses of the Oireachtas, which you would expect that it will, then any future government, Sinn Féin, for example, if it was led by Sinn Féin, they won't have the option of rowing back on this. So Sinn Féin has been critical of this. It has said that Ireland shouldn't have agreed to opt in here. Fine Gael has fought
opt
back.
Opt in across the board, aren't they? Saying there are bits we should opt into and other bits that we shouldn't.
Exactly. It's a bit more nuanced, to be fair. But when you
in the Dáil, but it was a straight vote against in the European Parliament, isn't
yes,
that right?
Yes. Yeah. So Fine Gael has hit back, calling them Eurosceptic and that they've always been anti-Europe. That's sort of been the accusation levelled today by Helen McEntee and also by one of their MEPs, Maria Walsh. But speaking to somebody in government earlier, they were kind of making the point that it's easy for Sinn Féin to rail against this, because if they are in a future government, they'll be able to put their hands up and say, oh, well, we don't like it, but actually we're forced into it and therefore our hands are tied. So it's sort of an easy political point for them to score at the moment.
And it remains to be seen, this won't come into effect until 2026. We do know that migration is an issue that's been rising, not just in the polls here in Ireland, but right across Europe. And it's expected to be a very big issue in the European Parliament elections in the summer. So there was a big concern, wasn't there, Tommy, to try and... It still got to be, of course, signed off by the Council of Ministers, of Prime Ministers, so, and Poland may be raising some concerns there. But it was really European leaders very concerned to try and get this, if you like, put to bed, to have a plan in place before they go to the polls.
Absolutely. This has its roots since as far back as 2016. It has really taken a long time to get here. And I think there would have been many governments around the EU breathing a sigh of relief, including our own, that this passed the European Parliament yesterday. There would have been intense lobbying efforts underway in the days prior to that vote, governments contacting their MEPs to ensure that this did get over the line. Because in the run-up to these European elections, governments want to be able to point this to this migration pact as evidence that they are making changes. And we see our own government doing this as well. And had this failed, it would have been scuppered for probably many years to come. And therefore, this would have been a big issue in the upcoming European elections.
But we can expect to hear a lot more debate as well, you know, particularly from human rights campaigners and justice advocates about, you know, the impact of faster processes on people's right to get a fair hearing, the fingerprinting and detaining of children. You know, if Europe starts doing deportations to third countries, these are all issues that we can expect to hear a lot more about.
Yes, enormously. You know, NGOs are saying that children will be captured by this. Children over the age of six could potentially be detained in some of these new border detention centres. They're concerned about the conditions in there. That's children who are travelling with families. There's also the tracking, the fact that we're opting into Eurodac, which will fingerprint everybody across Europe, people arriving in. Now, the minister has hailed this as something that's very important for us. And then criticism too that this might mean a dilution of an appeals process and that people their rights would really be infringed as part of this.
You've news for us on the patents referendum.
Yes, hold on to your seats. Big news on the patents referendum. So I know we were all excited about this. It was to run on the same day as the local and European elections. It now seems that the government is very much getting cold feet about this one. I've spoken to a few people this afternoon. We haven't seen an official statement yet, but I understand that it's looking very likely it's going to be sort of long-fingered and postponed. There's going to be a memo brought to Cabinet next week, probably by the new Minister for Enterprise, Peter Burke. And the official excuse will be something along the lines of, well, we don't want to take away from the attention on the local and European elections. We don't want to rush this too much. But really, people were never too enthusiastic about it, given the kicking they got in the most recent referendums. And this one concerns Europe, even though it is just about a transfer of jurisdiction of patent litigation. It's likely to become very contentious and they just don't want to touch it. I think that's pretty clear.
I'm hearing that this recent pushback against the patent referendum is coming from the Fine Gael side and potentially with the switchover of Taoiseach. That's where this fresh opposition is coming from. And I think there will be a feeling among some backbenchers that this could go against our economic competitiveness. You'd have the likes of Malcolm Byrne expressing concern over that, that actually, whilst it is, you could argue, a boring referendum and unlikely to gain too much excitement amongst the electors, that actually, from a business point of view, it is important for Ireland.
What's the old adage about referendums? They end up never being about what they're actually about or started out being about. We're looking ahead to the Fianna Fáil Ardéis this weekend, Tommy.
Yes, yeah, we're back into Ardéis season. We had Fine Gael last week, and you've had Fine Gael probably hoovering up a lot of headlines over the last 2 weeks, given that they've had a
change. Yeah, Willie O'Dea wasn't that happy about that in his column in the Sunday Independent. He was didn't feel it was in the partnership spirit at all of coalition for Fine Gael to be hogging the headlines with their leadership reset.
And Fianna Fáil perhaps allowing them to do so. But then again, I suppose, how was Fianna Fáil going to play this? Had there been a leadership contest in Fine Gael, you probably would have seen much more headlines going Fine Gael's way. He was also expressing concern around commitments from the three leaders that this government would see out its full term. He said that it would allow the opposition time to score points. I think some would say that the opposition already have plenty of time to score points at the moment because the Dáil has been in recess quite a bit in recent weeks. Micheál Martin has been pushed on this around when the election will be. He seemed to be quite definite that he wanted to see a budget get over the line. So that would take us to really October. After that, he wasn't as definite. I mean, he has said that he wants to run it, he wants to see it run to its full term, but he wasn't quite as defensive when it came to whether there would be an election after the next budget. So maybe that's when it could be.
And it's interesting to see what's coming off the table besides the budget. We have the patents referendum now being postponed, the amendments that are being considered in terms of the hate speech legislation, and again, Minister McEntee talking about that this morning. It's going to be interesting because unless that bill comes back with amendments that define hate and define gender, you'd wonder whether, given what we're hearing from government TDs, whether the government would have enough support for its own bill this time around.
Yeah, I mean, there's public kickback today from some Fianna Fáil Oireachtas members, Lisa Chambers and Jim O'Callaghan. And it really underlines the fact that in these final months of the government, they're going to run away from things that are contentious. I mean, it's just not worth expending a lot more political capital on the hate speech bill. Helen McEntee did defend it this morning. She did say that it's been brought forward for good reasons. She's pushed back against what she would see as misinformation around it. But you'd have to say it's becoming more and more likely it won't get through in this term.
Yes, and she's also working on legislation, isn't she, on a minimum time before you're considered for parole for serious crimes. And that, again, was something the Fine Gael Ardéis very much wanted. But it is interesting, isn't it? You know, when you hear veterans like Willie O'Dea or Bertie Ahern also talking about not a great idea to be going to the country now in the depths of winter, January and February. You know, it's the worst time of the year usually in the hospitals. Government might argue whatever largesse the budget was giving would be coming through in your pay packet, but most people usually feel pretty broke in January, don't they? And the other point Willie O'Dea was making about, you know, we're going to see basically from sometime in November on government TDs being whipped into the Dáil to turn up for votes, while all the opposition TDs will be out on the doorsteps.
Yeah. I mean, there will be a counter view that the longer you go, the more you allow government policies to bed in, the more you can point to progress. Some in Fianna Fáil particularly would say, if you look at housing, that the numbers are improving, they would say, and that to go the full term would allow them
and to starts to point up again, aren't they, from the start of the year? Yeah,
things are improving in that regard. Now, obviously, not enough, and the targets are going to be revised, and they're going to be revised upwards. But that would lend itself to the arguments that maybe the government should go its full term. But then again, contesting an election in poor weather is not something that any politician wants to do.
No, and indeed, think of all the poor reporters who have to follow them all around
<Those Yes. too. clears
throat> in the cold and the wind and the rain. We don't wish that on you. Anyhow, we leave it there for today. We'll talk to you again next Thursday. Thanks for listening or watching. Take care. Bye.